This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Here on our show, we look at Maryland through the prism of its politics, its culture, its history, its communities. But in the 8 years the show's been on the air, I'm not sure we've ever looked at it through the prism of its geography. We're going to address that right now with a conversation with James DeLisio. DeLisio retired this year after a stint as Towson University's interim provost and vice president for academic affairs, and more to our purpose, after nearly 40 years as professor of geography. DeLisio has just published Maryland Geography, An Introduction, and he's with me in the studio to talk about it. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I should say I've never warmed up to geography. Maybe I just didn't have good teachers. It's never been a discipline that interested me much. Yeah. And now that I've spent some time with your book, I'm not sure it's a discipline at all. Mm-hmm. You cover, among other things, other topics, the kudzu menace, growing income inequality, the derivation of county names in Maryland, and educational achievement, not to mention a lot of history and a lot of geology. So I've concluded that geography just gives you a license to write about whatever you want to. So how do you define it?
Geography is a science that looks at how people interact with their environment. You start with the natural environment, which I have a chapter in the book on climate and soils and topography and so forth. And then we look at how people impact this environment and how it affects their history and culture and their economic landscape and how they make a living and so forth. We call that the cultural landscape to differentiate it from the physical landscape. So anything we do to change the physical landscape is cultural landscape. We build roads. We build cities. We have economic systems. We put a fence in our yard. That's not natural. That's part of the cultural landscape. And there's also the political landscape, which is another aspect of the landscape. We look at the behavior of people on the landscape and the patterns, the spatial patterns that result from those kinds of behaviors. And we try to explain them, not just describe them. But once we can describe them and map them. That's what most people know about geography. Mm-hmm. But once you get beyond the mapping and the answering the where question, we then move on to the why question. Why do you have this pattern? So geography has one foot in the social sciences and one foot in the natural sciences. It bridges them. And if geography didn't exist as a discipline, you'd kind of have to invent the discipline of geography to try to pull all the other disciplines together. What the geologist is doing over here and what the physicist is doing over there and what the political scientist is doing over there, they have to relate to each other somehow. And how we relate them is with place. So geography relates to place, and we bring all those pieces together and we look at how they interact on the landscape in a place. So you can think of it like, let's take the parts of a car. Okay, and if you take a car and take it all apart and put it on a on a driveway, you have hundreds, thousands of parts. And you can look at each little part individually, each nut and bolt and so forth, and you can analyze it and study it. And that's what we do in a lot of disciplines. We study the pieces. Now, eventually, we start putting those pieces together in geography. You need somebody to assemble the pieces. So in a car, you have the frame, you put the wheels on, you have a transmission drive system, you have a fuel system, you have an electrical system. Put it all together, put fuel in it, turn the key, and it should run. It's all the parts are interacting. So what we try to do in geography is look at all the parts, tell the story of a region, of a place, and how the parts are interacting with each other.
That's geographer Jim DeLisio here on Maryland Morning, 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about his new book, Maryland Geography, An Introduction. As I was browsing through, I was struck by a graphic in your description of land use in Maryland. Much more forest than I thought still existed mm-hmm. in Maryland.
Yeah.
42%, you said, in 2010. And most of that privately owned.
Yes. Much of it's privately owned. Maryland is part of a greater region called Megalopolis. It's the great urban agglomeration that stretches from southern Maine to Virginia, to around Richmond or Norfolk. All of the counties coming down the coast are part of Megalopolis. But the urban factor is defined on a county basis. I did graduate school out in Oklahoma. And a lot of the fellow students out there were from the Midwest or the far west. They'd never been here to this Megalopolis region. And they assumed that as you drove from Boston to Washington, you drove from one city to the next. You were in an urban area all the time. There's a lot of open green space in Megalopolis. So though we are largely defined as an urban state, especially the central and eastern part of the state, there's still a lot of open land here, and a lot of it is privately owned. One of the crises we're facing in the state, of course, is the disappearance of that green space, that forested area, at such a rapid rate.
You also describe a basically a blast from outer space that played a role in forming the Chesapeake Bay.
Yeah, the bolide. This is it was a flaming meteor, probably about 6 miles across, and it hit the lower Chesapeake Bay area. There was no bay at the time; it was land. It was going faster than the speed of a bullet.
This was like 35
million years ago. And it hit, and the explosion would have been like many, many, many atomic bombs going off at the same time. And at that time, it was land. So it put this huge crater in the ground. It obliterated plant life for many, many miles, eastern Virginia, all the way up into Delmarva and across and into what is now the Atlantic. Animal life was wiped out, killed all the animal life in the area. And then about 10,000 years ago, when the glacier starts to melt, and the glacier is the north of us, the continental glacier, the Pleistocene era, as the glacier is moving back and ablating or melting and moving north, all the meltwater coming off the glacier basically swamps or gorges our rivers. So the ancient Susquehanna River, which comes right down the middle of the bay, the old channel is still down there, it floods and it forms the Chesapeake Bay. And so now you have this big, huge crater under the bay. It's down at the mouth of the bay in Virginia. But ships coming up the bay now, the channel goes around this old crater. When the river started flowing in to form the Chesapeake Bay itself 10,000 years ago, the rivers were channeled around the rim of the crater because the rim is quite high. So something that happened 35 million years ago still impacts us today. We know about this. We had to put the pieces together, basically through a deep sea drilling. There's an experimental ship, exploration ship that the government runs called the Glomar Challenger. In mm-hmm. the 80s, they did some drilling off the coast of New Jersey and Maryland. And this is where they were finding pieces of the bolide. They said, okay, there was a big explosion that happened here. This is from outer space. This is a meteor. They traced it back. And in the bay, they were doing core samples, and they located the crater. And now through soundings and modern technology, they can actually map the crater and actually see it.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Jim DeLisio, he's author of the new book, Maryland Geography, An Introduction. DeLisio will be speaking this Friday, 3 p.m., in Towson University's Liberal Arts Building. The event is free and open to the public. We've got more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. More of this interview there, too. I'm Sheila Cast. After a break, Beethoven meets the Baltimore Rock Opera Society. Stay with us on 88.1.